Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sans Pants Radio.
Eat my dust, slime ball! Eat fumes, Wormo!
Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game podcast for those whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm Joel.
And today we're going to be looking at Mass Effect Legendary Edition and other games. Right,
oh,
I finally got some time to myself because
yes!
We are once again in video game jail to play some a dirty great big game.
Yeah, that's it. It's one of the biggest, fattest, dirtiest games maybe in history.
It's so fat and dirty and big.
That's what it says on the box art. Play the dirtiest game ever made. And then in a little text bubble, it's fat, dude.
Mass Effect, a game series I love, adore, and enjoy, and been mean to go back to it, and then they were like, hey, here's this Legendary Edition, and I was like, oh, I will lose myself in that if I get it, and then I...
In the music, the moment.
Yeah. I threw up spaghetti all over myself, and then I figured I probably should stay away from this particular game, because it will ruin me, and I did my best to be like, no, I do not have the time for this, I'm just not going to, but then thankfully, our wonderful premier of Victoria was like, no, stay inside, boot up the Xbox, go to JB, buy that Legend, Zammit, buy it.
This presser is for you, Joel Zammit, only.
And I went, okay, yeah, I'll do that.
Thank you, Victorians, for working your hardest to avoid this lockdown. But unfortunately, we're locking down. But the good news is that big, dirty, fat video games... They're once again on the menu, boys.
So nom, dig nom, in. Nom, and nom, I was nom, like, nom, oh, that's going to be delicious. Yeah. So I booted up Mass Effect. And I figured, look, I'll just play the first one. I'll just play the first, see what happens. See, just dip my toe. And that's what I've done. Yeah. I've played the first one to completion. I finished it off. It took me like maybe under 20 hours, I want to say, like 14 or something like that.
World famous Thumb Cramps clocking yet again.
It's a beautiful game. It is one of my favorites. Mass Effect, what a series. The first one, it's aged. It shows the problems of the first one are still there. So I forget when it came out, like a while ago. I think it was for the Xbox 360, I want to say.
Yeah,
you know, JD's looking this up.
Yeah, of course.
Is me in the box on the phone.
He's peeping the tomes, yeah.
So it plays very much like a game of the era. So there's a lot of levels where it's very sparse in terms of, like, you're just walking through a corridor. It's a very similar, like, palette a lot of the times.
Well, that's all that the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3, the consoles that this game originally released on, could play.
That's true.
Like, wow. it plays very much like a faster version of Knights of the Old Republic 1, which makes sense because it's by the same people.
That game's sick, though.
Did you find that it was like too? Because like I remember going back and playing the Uncharted collection when that had like a re-release on the PS4, and I played through Uncharted 1, but it wasn't a good time. Like Was it the same thing for you where you were like, I'll never go back to this because the game's dated to the point where, like, doing it once is worthwhile because then you've done it, but the idea of actually going back, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean, but no, not really. Like, it's still very fun game. Like, it's still, because it is the game it is, which is kind of like this third-person RPG element,
it
is still fun in that regards. Like, the gameplay isn't really hindered. There are, like, say, the things that, like, the enemies are very repetitive. There's, like, maybe two or three different models. So you get cybernetic zombie people, but then there's a whole mission where they're controlled by fungus and they're like, fungus zombie people. And so it's that kind of thing where you're like, that's the same enemy, but they're like glowing green instead of glowing blue. But all right.
Hey, Jackson, you big moron, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Do you find that games, like, do you have the thing where all games that aren't, I know, released in the last, like, 5 years are all dated for you, or do you have, like, a valley where there's, like, a weird in-between where if you go too far back, you're like, this doesn't feel dated, it just feels like an old game?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think anything past the, like, Xbox 360... No, sorry, the, like, probably Xbox and... Oh, yeah, no, Xbox 360, PS3. Mm. Anything in that valley feels dated.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's probably because it's, like, so close to... Or, like, it's not so close to modern games, but, like,
That's the console where the game stopped having huge leaps forward. Like, the controls that you have in those games are still very similar to the ones you have now. Mm. We've kind of figured out the best way for games to work. Where when you go back,
we've stopped innovating either way.
See, I think an Xbox 360 game would feel bad, but a Wii game would feel better because you're holding a different controller. So you're like, whatever.
No, that's true. Mm. That's true.
Yeah, I know what you mean. This one doesn't feel dated. It just feels like I'm playing an old game.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's great then. That's really good. Yeah,
which is sort
like
of like
that.
Nice. Also,
it's a remaster as well. So they should have hopefully fixed it, which it doesn't sound like they did in Uncharted. Or they did in Jackson, you didn't care for it. Either one.
Yeah. So they did fix a lot of the problems that were in the original, but I don't remember or recall because I'm like, I love this game, mate. And then, like, nostalgia has colored me so much.
Yeah.
There are certain things that I wish they'd sort of started when they did start in Mass Effect that they kind of brought over to the other games. One being, like, the ammo situation. It was never really, like, an issue in Mass Effect 1 in that you just kind of, like, had infinite ammo basically. It just had, the more you used it, the more it kind of built up, like, the heat. And if it got too hot, you're like, it's too hot, I can't fire my gun.
Gun's too hot, damn.
Yeah, damn. Whereas I think in 2 and 3, they're like, no, we got bullets now. But I'm like, but I miss my hot gun.
Yeah, hot
gun.
That's
guns. Such a funny... They do that in so many games where they're like, your gun gets hot and your character is such a goddamn moron that they don't stop shooting. Ah, gun hot.
That's still there, which I liked, and then they kind of got rid of it. There is the RPG element in Mass Effect 1 that does not carry over in the others, I think, which is kind of like, here are all these different versions of guns, and here are these different, like your suit and all this kind of thing, your armor and that kind of stuff, where you're just like, oh, yeah, this sucks. I don't care about having to go through and equip myself and my squad.
One of the main reasons, because I recently bought The Witcher, right?
Mm-hmm. Why?
The Witcher 3. Because I was like, whatever, it's like $5 on Steam or whatever. That's a sale. Fair. Be kind to me. And I was like...
How much have you played it?
Well, let me finish my goddamn story.
I feel like that... All right, go on.
Yeah, go on. Spit it out.
Get on with it.
Well, I'm here for a haircut.
Well,
I need a haircut.
Yes, Sam. We all need a haircut.
You don't need a haircut. You just had a haircut.
That's true. A couple weeks back.
Yeah, me neither. It's just douche.
Yeah.
Really? Witcher,
you don't need a haircut? I disagree, Jack.
No, I don't. I look great. One of the reasons that I've not
Shut
gone
up,
back
Jackson,
to play
keep
it.
Keep talking. Witcher, what were you saying?
One of the reasons.
Yes.
I've not gone back to play it is that equipment upgrading loop that is, you can do it once. But once you're out, the idea of going back in is so exhausting. Like, I remember with The Witcher 3, you'd get a sword, and the sword would be good for, like, 5 minutes before you'd have to go collect, like, a goddamn ghoul eyes and gold to, like, make a better... It just... Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's such a turn off for me in games now. I don't know if I just don't have the patience anymore or the time or what, but
yeah, it feels like some of these things, and I think it's a holdover from myself when I played like a bunch of MMOs where it's just kind of like, oh yeah, this upgrade will give you an extra this and blah, 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 blah. Mm. And you kind of almost need a spreadsheet to the point where I'm like, I don't care. What's the most damage? That one, good, whatever.
Yeah, great.
Because it's like, yeah, not only do you have multiple versions of like a pistol, say, but then you can upgrade the pistol with different upgrades. So you can be like, well, this one will make it fire harder, this one will make it fire through armor, and this one will make it just shred biotics, and you're like, I don't care. Just give me a gun that goes bang.
Like, it's negligible. Like, it doesn't, you don't notice it. You're not like, oh, I shot that biotics guy, thank God I got the biotics thing. You're just like,
and to kind of spend that time before each fight or before like what each mission might be to then like kit myself out with a particular ammo and a particular weapon and then do that for my squad, I'm like, I don't care. I'm not doing it, and I don't do it. Also, the Mako missions, which are the missions that you have when you're in like a little all-terrain six-wheel buggy and you drive around the sort of planets you find and invest. It sucked then, and it sucks now. It's been improved, but it's still garbage, and it's the worst. They could have the only way they could have maybe improved it was to just take it out, but they didn't. And that's fine. I think there's a certain type of person that might be like nostalgic for this vehicle that handles like a fridge and turns like dog shit.
That's good.
It's good. I don't know if in the previous game, if you got stuck, you just had to cop it and just load a previous save. But in this one, if you get stuck, i.e. like you flip your whole vehicle over and it's on its back like a turtle, it'll wait a while and then it'll just kind of like shunt itself back to wherever. And you're like, Halo, that's an improvement.
Yeah, that's a bonus, I guess.
That's Warthog does.
Yeah, or even the tank, I think, which is cool.
That
is strong in Halo.
You know what else is cool, Jackson? That you've put more hours into Cockroach Simulator than you have Witcher 3.
Yeah, well, I've not even played Witcher 3, so of course.
That makes sense. So the game is great. If you've ever played Mass Effect and you're kind of like, maybe I'll go back into it. Like, it's fun. Surprisingly, it's not as long and dirty and big as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Like, I finished this one pretty quickly. And I did go around and do a lot of the side quest missions and all that kind of garbage. But the storyline's great. I made the smart decision of not trying to bang Garrus this time, which was great for me.
Classic.
Don't want to do that again. One of my biggest regrets in my previous playthrough. He's a great guy, but... no, thank you. Not in that way. I should have knocked him back the first time. So that's pretty good. Also, and then there's like one of these big decision making in the first game where it's like, which one of your human companions are you going to sacrifice? Yeah, it's a real easy choice because one of them is real anti-alien, like very anti things that aren't human. And you're like, how did I miss this the first time? Wow. They don't sugarcoat that. So it was a very easy decision to make.
Shoot both. Less guys is good.
You can't, well, not in this one, but you definitely can kill a lot of your members if you.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. Maybe instead of buying The Witcher 3 again, a game that you hate, Jackson, I've just decided, you should have bought the Mass Effect trilogy.
Yeah.
Well, a game that you probably also hate, I've just decided.
Well, you could definitely at least kill two of your squad mates in this game, which is nice.
That's bad. I want to be known as the worst commander Space has ever seen.
Yeah.
But look, by Mass Effect 3, I think there is maybe only two or three. Because I think there's DLC that is like a party, and it's like depending on who's there, you'll just have like a big celebration of like, you've saved the universe. And it's like all your squad mates. And I'm pretty sure if you deliberately try and cook it so that you just like play it the most incompetent, it ends up being a party with like maybe you and the character that Seth Green plays.
That rolls. Sad party where they're like, you saved the universe, but also you're a moron.
And I think if you play it a certain way, he does hate you because you kill his robot girlfriend.
Well, that's cool.
Is he playing Chris from Family Guy?
Nah, he's playing Joker. He's a pilot with
a robot girlfriend.
Well, yeah. Eventually.
That's cool. Does he sound like Chris Griffin?
Nah, he sounds like Seth Green.
Can I get your best Chris Griffin impression, Dusha?
I can't remember what he sounds like. I was hoping to sound like
just take a stab. Just take a stab.
What is he like? Hey,
just
Chris.
Just take a stab. Yeah. Hey, Chris. It's me, Peter Griffin.
Yeah.
We set you up, dude.
Oh, yeah, Peter, look, it's our son, Chris Griffin.
Mom!
What the deuce?
Mom and Dad and brother, leave me alone!
think you nailed it. There's a lot of despair to your Kris Griffin. He was wailing.
I love when I refer to my siblings as and brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Stewie, stop trying to kill our freaking mom.
What the deuce?
Perfect.
Oh, wow. Real good.
Meg, my ugly sister.
It's crazy that Kris Griffin apparently has a giant penis. Like, that's canon of the show.
He's canonically really well hung. That's cool.
Yeah. A whole episode dedicated to how his father is jealous of his son's dick.
Yeah.
Family Guy's sick, guys.
Did that win any
Emmys? Probably did, eh?
Oh, yeah, heaps. Anyway.
So Mass Effect 1, Legendary, it's a great game. Probably like four thumbs and a knuck. Once again, it's like, I'm probably giving it that extra knuck because I love the series. Ultimately, it's probably like
enough.
A four thumb game. It's not perfect, but then again, it's like the problems of Mass Effect 1, they sort of correct it in Mass Effect 2 and 3. At least they did in the original run, and I'm looking forward to seeing how they do it in the Legendary Edition. But no, it's a great series. Oh my God, I cannot wait to play 2, 3, and then dip my wet big toe into Andromeda and be like, oh no. Or maybe be surprised and be like, oh, they fixed it. That's kind of nice.
I feel like that the threshold for entertainment in the last 2 years has dipped significantly because we're all just chasing everything.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, Andromeda, whilst in a pre-COVID world, may have famously sucked big fat turds, may now in fact be a big dirty game in which you can suck.
Well, that's true, because there was apparently there was a big update when they fixed all the faces, but by that time the die was already cast and everyone was like, I'm not playing and I don't care, leave me alone.
Not everyone can pull off a No Man's Sky, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Not everyone tough. Can. So what have you been playing there, Jixon?
I don't know when I did, but I've reviewed on Thumbcrest before a game called The Convenience Store.
It was like two or three episodes ago.
Thank you. By a guy called Chillazart, or a person called Chillazart. And they released a new game recently, which I played and also streamed, twitch.tv/JacksonBailey. Come say hello. And it's that same kind of sort of like janky PS1 style horror game. This one took a long time. So the premise of it is that you're a delivery person and you're delivering packages to a spooky, like, apartment block. And this one took a long time to become scary. The first half of it was just me delivering packages and getting very frustrated. Like, I think the game meant it to feel spooky, but it never... So, like, at one point, I'm going to deliver a package to a guy in his room. So I go there, and he opens the door, and he's like, hey, I can't accept packages till you talk to the priest. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, you got to get
and
an exorcism for the package.
Yeah, well, then I go all the way downstairs to the priest, and the priest's like, I'm not going to do that unless you give me some money. And then I got to go upstairs again.
Classic.
And I'm like, the
priest
wants money. And the guy's like, all right, yeah, that's fair. Here's some money. So I take the money back to the priest, and the priest's like, that's not enough money. Mm. And then I have to go back upstairs, get more money from the guy, then go downstairs. And finally, the priest is like, yeah, whatever, I'll exercise the package. And then I could take it back to the guy. So it was frustrating. I was angry during that bit.
Because
I had to keep walking up and down stairs.
The anger that is within us that escapes during frustrating video games is the biggest scare of all, Jackson. Do you ever think about that?
I think you're right. I think it was more fun to be, like, livid with a game than to be scared of it. And anyway, you deliver all of the packages. It's like a short little horror game. Like, I think it took me maybe 20 minutes to finish, maybe a little bit longer. It didn't get spooky until halfway through. There was a great moment where I was chasing a baby. That was one of my gaming highlights of 2021. I opened the door to a room. I looked down. I see a fat little poorly rendered baby. It plaps away down the corridor. I look up. This lady's like, catch my baby. I was like, oh my God. Then later I found the baby in another apartment in a bathroom, and I carried it around like a gun.
That yeah, that's good. Sick.
It was real good.
Could you like and that was shoot when, like with the baby?
No, like, I just carried, it's like I was carrying the baby in front of me. But that was where the game took the turn and became spooky, because we went in an elevator and accidentally went to hell.
Yeah.
You know how it is.
Yeah.
And Dushy, you'll like this.
Yeah.
Hell was a bit like Donkey Kong.
Because... Oh, I do love that. You went to Ape because Hell.
I went to Ape Hell, by which I mean that I could no longer
wait,
use
isn't
the stairs.
Donkey Kong Ape Heaven? Like, you get to capture a princess and throw barrels at an Italian man.
No,
that's
not what most apes want.
That's what most apes want. You gave a gorilla a barrel and you let him know an Italian was in the crowd. Like that. That was the worst click I've ever done. It made no sound.
Yeah.
I don't know how I did that.
Didn't even knew you clicked.
I didn't even knew you clicked either.
It was like Donkey Kong in that I could no longer use the stairs of the elevator to explore the apartment, and now I had to use ladders to like get between the different floors. So it was a bit like Donkey Kong, but it was mostly frustrating. The game, I don't know if it ever really got... Like, it was a lot of fun. I actually really enjoyed it. But I don't know if it ever really got spooky. The convenience store was spooky. The convenience store was spooky because you would start in your apartment, and I think that walk from your apartment to the convenience store through, like, a what was meant to presumably be, like, a 5 a.m. or a 4 a.m. Japanese town.
Yeah.
That was scary because, I don't know, that it just had a good vibe. But this was more
there's
like...
There's something kind of, like, you know, scary about a convenience store, like, at 3 o'clock in the morning. You can have, like, a sense there of, like, oh, things could go pretty south pretty quick.
And, like, I think this game got a little bit of buzz. I saw a couple of articles about it here and there where people were like, it's just scary to, like, open the door and you're like, who are you going to get? But most of the time... That part wasn't for... I mean, like, at one point I open a door, there's no one there, and then, like, a girl, like, sort of snake-like comes around a corner and is like, can you set up my bed for me or whatever? That one was scary because I got stuck in the toilet. That was frightening.
Yeah, that is scary.
Just at the convenience store, like, someone, like, a ghoul comes in being like, I want these twisties.
Yeah, that's scary. Yeah. No, this was, So I went to the toilet just to see what was in there, and then the geometry f***ed, and I turned around... Sorry, Dusha. The geometry went wrong. You didn't even react. You're just so used to it. The geometry went wrong, and I turned around and just couldn't leave.
In that one, you corrected yourself, and I just heard a cut, and then you acknowledged it, and I was like, well, fine.
But yeah, so getting stuck in the toilet was scary because I had to start again because there was just no way to get out of the toilet. But otherwise, and also when it finished.
I like life, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. When it finished, it said good ending, and I don't know how I could have gotten any other endings, but there you go. Clearly multiple ways to finish it. But
can
I've technically
you not find the baby,
it.
Maybe?
Mm.
No, you have to find the baby to progress. There's a dog out the back with a letter in its mouth I couldn't get, so I assume it has something to do with that. I could get a letter from a cat earlier that was on a bin, but...
Did you?
Yeah.
What did it say?
Was it good?
Well, I think the spooky premise... Oh, because... Yeah, I think the spooky premise is, like, a guy is deformed and everyone's mean to him in the apartment, so he kills people. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Engage with the story? I'm shocked to hear this.
Yeah.
A 20-minute game where the story can only be very brief and, like, just give you a little bit of exposition, and you didn't engage.
I just absolutely did not. I was the most engaged I was chasing the baby. Not enough games let me chase a baby being like, come back, you little bastard. Not enough games give me that pure, pure joy. But it was really fun. I've growing or developing such a penchant and such a love for these like PS1 style horror games. They're not all great. Some of them are really bad. Mm. But I don't know. Something about them is spooky and fun, and I like how quickly I can finish them.
And not pay attention and still get the satisfaction of the credits rolling.
Exactly. Yeah. I clocked this game, but it doesn't sound like I earned it at all, you know?
How many thumbs?
Probably I would give this... I didn't like it as much as the convenience store, so probably maybe 3 thumbs, something three like thumbs? That.
All right.
I don't know how many thumbs I gave the convenience store. Probably the same. Who knows? Is there any consistency across my reviews? Absolutely not.
Oh, no. 100% no. Yeah.
If you liked a game, it will get anywhere between 2 thumbs and a knock and 5 thumbs.
Mm-hmm.
Picked at random.
I love this game. It was one of my best, probably game of the year, but... 2 thumbs.
2 thumbs is a negative review from Jackson. 2 thumbs and a knock can be mixed to positive.
Yeah. 0 thumbs, you know I hated the game or mildly disliked it.
Yeah.
All right, JD, what have you been playing?
Well, I, against all logic and, you know, the nature of the show, I have actually taken one of Jackson Bailey's recommendations
oh my
and
God.
Fired up a game that I was already going to play.
So it's not really taking Jackson's recommendation.
But
the he just got in there first.
No, yeah, well, no, he didn't even get in there first. He got in there most recent.
So really, no credit to Jackson at all.
So actually, I got in there last.
So, and I think in many ways, the credit should probably fall on the developer for releasing a sequel to the game on a console that I own now. So I was like, I should go back and play the one that's not a sequel to this.
Okay, so just nothing to do with Jack.
Ignore me.
Jackson liked this game, so so I've been playing Resident Evil 7 or Resident Evil Bioshock.
Oh, yeah.
Biohazard. Biohazard, not Bioshock.
Rapture.
Yeah.
Yes, we've gone to Rapture. No, so Resident Evil Biohazard, almost said Bioshock again. And it... I tell you what, Jackson, one thing that you didn't quite get across in your review of the game, or I forgot, is this game is legitimately very scary.
Oh, yeah. It's terrifying.
Shit is just flying out of my pants constantly during this game. Mm-hmm. Like, I am just sitting on the couch just doing just huge shits in my little pants.
Ruining a couch permanently.
Left, right, and center.
I've wrecked my whole house.
No.
Yeah, move out.
Everyone else should. So I'm like... 4 hours in, maybe a little bit longer.
Okay, and what's the I guess shit per minute like?
What's our SPM?
Oh, okay. I would say on average, I would say per minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it'd be like point.
All right, we'll go with shits per hour. How's that?
Shits per hour. You're getting to probably at least six shits per hour.
That's fair. Right.
Because
that's fair.
One thing that this game is really good at is like it does jump scares. But the threat doesn't go away.
Yeah. You get no time to relax.
You get the jump scare and you're like, oh shit, I gotta run away from the thing or the person.
Yeah.
And so, then.
So not like a classic, like, jump scare and it's just a silly beaver, not an alligator. Yeah. But it's like, it's a jump scare and it's a giant alligator coming to eat me. Run.
Yeah. So in this case, it's like, oh, a jump scare. Oh, and it's the dad of the house and he's got this weird baseball bat metal thing that he's just clobbering you with it, and he's trying to find you, and you've got to explore in the house, but he's also trying to find you to kill you.
That's not good.
It does a crazy thing where the jump scares are there, but they're not like set up, they're like natural jump scares.
Yeah,
like in that section you'll be creeping through the house and you'll be like, go to open a door, and just his pathing will have led him to the same door, and you'll be like, oh no. You turn around and run.
But then there is also actual jump scares in the game. So, like, after certain events have happened, you got to open a door, and like the person you're running away from will just rip open the door or shut the door in your face. And like, there's a lot going on. Also, I love all the references to, I guess, both the first two Texas Chainsaw Massacres, because the second boss fight in this game is a chainsaw fight.
That's good.
How long did it take you to beat that chainsaw fight? Because it took me a million years.
It took me enough. See, I'm kind of glad because I beat it on the last time that I found it. So, sorry, I beat it the first time I didn't find the fight scary.
Yeah, okay.
I think it was like four. I think I beat it on my fourth attempt.
Yeah, fair.
Because I did die a bunch, and then I realized I was like, oh, wait, I'm doing this in a stupid way.
Yeah, for sure.
But, Jackson, so this game doesn't give you many bullets.
No, it doesn't.
Does your gun get hot?
No,
sadly not.
No, no hot gun. Ratchet and Clank has hot gun though, which is another game. I clocked Ratchet and Clank, by the way, and it didn't get better.
Okay.
The last boss fight.
It seems like you don't want to.
Oh no! Like, I'm glad I played it, but the last boss fight
doesn't
was
sound it.
Not particularly exciting.
Yeah. Well.
So, you don't get many bullets, Jackson, and I'm suspecting that maybe you used all of your bullets all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Trigger happy. Look at him.
Yeah. And bad at aiming, you know. Yeah. I'd see a zombie coming, or the
mold
dad coming
men.
Towards me, and I'd shoot, and it would go past his head, and then I'd shoot again, and he'd be gone from where he was before, you know? You know how people move? I can't get a handle on it, I'll tell you what.
So, I'm currently towards the back half of the second section of the game. The second section I found less scary, and I was like, oh, this part isn't going to be scary. And then they introduced a person into it, and then it got scary again.
Oh, yeah.
Also, something that I don't know if you mentioned in your last review, Jackson, one part that is terrifying is there's videotapes in the game. And these videotapes are, like, kind of diaries or like evidence that your character Ethan is watching, but the game makes you play through them. So you're a person.
So you're watching yourself.
No,
in
it's
a
different.
So you're watching someone, but you're playing the thing you're watching.
Yeah, pretty much. Right. And so it plays like a VHS. Like it looks
yeah,
like
you find a
VHS,
yeah. And they're like, "Hey, it's me, your wife, Mia.
Yeah.
Ethan, come find me. Oh wait, what's that noise?
Yeah.
And then in universe in the game, Ethan is just watching this video.
Yeah.
But the game, rather than just making you watch a long cutscene, makes you play it.
So you're playing as Mia.
Yes.
Oh, it's spooky.
Yeah.
And
it's spooky as hell.
Yeah, it's spooky because it adds like the VHS grainy filter over it.
Oh, even
plus
spookier.
Plus also, because I don't know if you've played, because some of them you're not playing as Mia, you're just playing as like...
Oh yeah, first one you're playing is like some guys have found a spooky house.
Because you're like, well, I know I'm not the protagonist, so I could just die at any second.
One of them you find a guy that he's like Blair Witching and so like standing in the corner, facing the corner, and you walk up to him as the camera guy, so through this grainy stuff. So I was obviously in these flashbacks because they're like not the character with a gun. You've got no weapons.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. There's something spooky about VHS. I don't think any other medium had. Like, if you were watching a DVD, not as scary.
Not as scary, yeah.
Yeah, and again, they put the colored bars at the start and the end of this. Oh. And when you're controlling it, it's got like this grainy filter over the top.
The only way you could make a DVD spooky if it was a corrupted DVD.
Yes, that would
be the only way, spooky, with like those
weird,
like, you know, those the things that come, like, you know, the pixels get all.
Weird looking.
The only way.
Or what if it, like, the game started, like, freezing and, like, skipping, like, what happens with the DVD scratched?
Ooh, yeah. Also.
What if it went back to the DVD menu and showed clips of the movie you were about to watch?
Less scary.
But yeah, like, so when you're Blair Witching this person, you put your hand on their shoulder and you go to turn them around, but they don't turn around because their face is through a meat hook.
Yeah, it's grisly.
Well,
yeah.
I guess they weren't really Blair Witching as opposed to dead.
It looks like they're just standing in the corner, but they're not.
Okay.
Yeah.
A game I would never want to play by myself. I would need one of you to hold my hand.
It's
so scary. Like, I didn't think it would be scary at all. Like, obviously, it's a horror game, so it would be a bit scary. But yeah, I've caught myself being like, whoa, Jesus, a bunch.
I think it's just the ever-present threat. I think that's what it is. You get, in a normal horror game, you have like your gamer brain is like, this section, there's no enemies spawning, so I'll be okay. But in Resident Evil 7, they're like, the enemy, and there's only like one, and then a couple of mold boys, is always spawned. So you're never safe.
Yeah.
Just you're never safe, And the fact that
it's like a game where you have to constantly explore and forage to find like keys and stuff. You're like, oh, okay, I gotta get to this room, but the person that's trying to kill me is somewhere in between where I am and the room I need to get into.
Oh, I don't like
that. Do you know what I mean about like how it's good that the puzzles are sort of simple? Because if they were complicated, you just get frustrated with the puzzle. But because it's simple, you're like, I know I just got to open enough drawers to find the key or whatever.
Yeah.
But I hate that I have to stop and do that because there's a fella there and he wants me there.
Or even like the
dog heads.
Yeah. The dog heads. The dog head keys.
Yeah.
But even just like the shadow, like the statues that you have to make a shadow on the wall with. Like that's a bit fiddly, but when you're trying to do it knowing that a guy could just come and kill you, it sucks.
It's stressful. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so I've fallen into that hole and got attacked with bugs, got out of the hole, then realized that I have to get the lantern to progress. So I have now had to find the person that put me in the hole again.
that sounds fun. Is there a way to hide from this man who's trying to constantly kill you?
Yeah.
Is it kind of like an Alien Isolation thing where you can just be like, oh, I'm just going to go into this locker and be quiet?
It's not designated places, really. It's just like...
Okay, just lock the drawer. Yeah, okay.
There's a few, when you're playing the game that there's like a few areas that the person that's following you won't go into.
Oh, that's nice.
And apparently some enemies shut doors trick, because you can shut doors behind you if you like.
Okay.
But
I would always shut those doors.
Yeah. But some enemies, the ones we're talking about, will just walk through a door. Oh, and also you hear them be like, Ethan, where are you?
Oh, I don't like this.
You
got to
join the family, Ethan.
Can I join the family?
No.
Ah,
you get your guts chainsawed open, though.
Yeah.
So how many thumbs for you so far?
Oh, five thumbs.
Five thumbs?
This is the best Resident Evil game I have played since Resident Evil 4.
It's so good. You're making me want to just bite the bullet and spend $100 on Resident Evil Village.
On just console, it's only $80, and I will be doing that the moment I finish 7. Even though I have bought 2 and 3 during lockdown and haven't played either of them.
Hell yes.
Well, boys, I think, you know what time it is?
Oh my god. Could it be?
Check the clock.
Is it? It's our most favorite time of the day.
It's my favorite time of year.
Why, it's a quick word from our sponsors.
Ad time.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank
those
you,
were
sponsors.
Some. They were really good ads, actually.
Very good. I'm going to go and purchase those goods and services that clearly we all heard just then. Yeah.
I'm going to purchase or go to or listen to or get whatever was just referenced. Mm-hmm.
And you should too.
Unless they were bad products, in which case don't.
But we never advertise any bad products. So you never hear a bad product. It's just the name of the game.
And now.
Yeah.
There's a couple of emails that have come to our inbox. They've emailed us at thumbcrampspod@gmail.com.
Oh, yeah.
I really like the way you said couple of there. It sounded like it was spelt G-U-P-P-A-L-A.
Couple
emails.
Couple emails.
Couple emails. Maybe couple emails.
All right. So what do these dirty boy emails have to say?
Yeah, what are they?
All right. So this one is from Woody.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Hey fellas, so recently I replayed the first Portal game and have rediscovered my love for the song Still Alive. It slaps. You guys got a favorite song, either made for a game or featured in a game? Second place is definitely The Last of Us Part 2 when Black Angel's Young Men Dead plays while you wreck shit as Ellie. Love you, Woody.
The only thing that comes to mind is the soundtrack for Transistor. It is like made by the same company that does like Bastion and Hades. And yeah, Transistor has a phenomenal soundtrack that just kind of like hits me in all the right buttons. And I'm just like, this is good. And I'll be that lame boy who will play it on Spotify. Transistor, great soundtrack.
The song Born Unto Trouble from Red Dead 1 is incredible. It's that like kind of mournful whistling song. I've actually never played Red Dead 1, but that song is great. So that might be my pick. Although I feel like there's definitely some that I must be forgetting or ignoring.
I like the song from GTA San Andreas. All the country songs on that.
Yeah, they are good. Okay. What about the song from Turok 2 Seeds of Evil? The one that loops on the first level.
Oh, that one is good.
Yeah, that's real good. Dun, dun.
But you know that San Andreas song where it's like one step forward, two steps back, or whatever.
Yeah. That is good.
Yeah.
There you go.
I don't have an actual answer. I'm sorry.
Sorry, Woody. I hope that suffices.
The Mario theme.
Yeah. Oh, actually, I'm updating my answer to my favorite video game song is Crawl Angel's Thesis, the Evangelion opening, but done for the Nintendo 64 version of Neo Genesis Evangelion because it uses Super Mario 64 sounds to make the song.
Whoa, that rolls.
You know that
good
pan?
Answer.
you know that pan flute from Super Mario 64, like do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have to use kind of like that instrument to make the anime song.
That's so
and
good.
It doesn't quite work.
No, of course not. Oh, also Spirit Tracks Overworld theme. Speaking of pan flute, great song.
Yeah. Zelda has a great soundtrack.
I was gonna say Zelda's soundtrack pretty good. But like that's not really a hot take.
Yeah.
And finally, just to bring us home.
Yeah.
We got another email that look, it falls into the category of yelling at us to play a game that we're never gonna play.
Oh yeah.
I love those emails.
Play Zach and Wiki Quest for Barbados' Treasure on the Wii.
No, thank you. That doesn't sound like a fun game.
We got sent it, didn't we?
Jackson, yeah, we don't have that game.
Yeah, well,
somebody sent us that game.
Jackson, play it.
Yeah, go on.
I don't know if I'll wait.
Play it.
Jackson, have you got the game?
No, it should be at
if
the
you've
studio.
Got the game, you've got the Wii.
Yeah.
It's at the studio.
If you've got the game, you've got a Wii.
Okay, so we can't play that game because one of us, Jackson, has the game, but no Wii.
I don't have the
game. And one of
us,
me, has a Wii, but Jackson won't give me the game.
Yeah.
I don't have it. Take
if
it.
Only,
it's
if only Jack
in the studio.
Would be nice and give Dusha the game.
I would love to play Zach and Miri Make a Porno or whatever.
No, you wouldn't. Yeah. If I gave you my Wii and that game, you wouldn't play it.
That's true. I'd find my old New Super Mario, Paper Mario game or whatever. What was that Paper Mario game for the Wii? New Paper Mario?
Super Paper Mario.
Super Paper Mario, and I'd play through that again.
Oh, I just remembered. When we got sent this game, we did set up the Wii, and then you got distracted by Mario Kart and never actually played it.
That's right.
That sounds like
Cass you. Brought her Wii in,
yeah,
and then I never played it.
Yeah.
Classic. Did Cass ever take her Wii back?
I don't know.
It sounds like something she probably would have forgotten about.
Yeah.
I think it was Hayden's Wii. So I think, and this was years and years ago.
A stolen Wii that was never returned.
Yeah.
Where did that end up?
Where is Hayden's Wii console?
I reckon Jackson's got it with the game.
Probably.
Set up on my TV and I'm just ignoring it. Every time I get home from work, I'm like, not for me.
Shock me. And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
And I've also been Joel. And you can email us at thumbcrampspod@gmail.com if you want us to play a game that you think that we will never play. But for some reason you
but
think
we'll
that
try.
Your email will change our minds.
Yeah. Mm. I'm sorry.
Oh, boys, did you know that today's episode was a hot 12 thumbs and a nut?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That's so many damn thumbs. It's crazy. Not really. That's a pretty low score, actually.
No, it's actually pretty high. Yeah.
And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
I've been
Didn't
Joel.
We do this?
Hey, thanks for listening. Do us a huge favor and leave a rating and review on whatever platform you're listening to this beautiful podcast on. Also, be sure to check out Sandspence Radio's objectively better gaming podcast, All the Small Games, hosted by Andrew Levins and John Valenzuela, two true professionals.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.